very high expectation of what I've always thought this franchise is, and that was the best franchise in sports.
In the moments where we are down, as players, we got to execute. Every day, I'm so fortunate to be a part of this team.
This is 49ers Plus Minus.
Everybody, Tim Kawakami here. This is 49ers Plus Minus with my co-host, Matt Barrows. This is our training camp preview. It's been delayed just a little bit, just a little bit. I've been ready to go, finger on the recording button, and Barrows has been a little late with this one. I'm not sure exactly the technical issues that came about, but they were serious and they were frequent. But Barrows, you got the wrench out. You got up on the modem. I don't know what you did, but I see you and I hear you loud and clear, and God bless it. Let's do our training camp preview.
Yes. Tidewater Cable on the coast of Maine. We had a big windstorm on Sunday. I don't think that they had their A team working on Sunday.
Windstorm? Because they got by a windstorm?
Because it took until late in the day on Monday to have any sort of Wi-Fi coverage. So, I think there were a lot of guys on vacation. maybe they had the C and the D team going, but it was not a quick repair. Let's just put it that way.
Did they realize the stakes of keeping 49ers Plus Minus delayed?
Exactly.
Did they understand that? Forget about getting people's like TV or whatever, Netflix or anything. We need to be able to do 49ers Plus Minus, the training camp preview. Because, yes, the 49ers rookies, I guess, reported yesterday. We never get any access to them. I'm not even sure Kyle is there for it. I'm sure he's there, but maybe not totally on field for everything. A lot of classwork, a lot of whatever. Veterans report on Saturday. And then the first practice full team is Sunday. I imagine they're going to go Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. I don't think they've released a schedule, but probably Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Usually go set to three, kind of a warm-up, kind of a hard practice, kind of a slowdown. That's kind of how they do these sets of three practices. We'll all be there Saturday, Sunday, whenever else, 49ers time. This is kind of, as you see on the headline, if you're watching the video, we're going to kind of figure out the list, at least who we believe each of us individually are kind of the most at stake or the ones we're going to be watching most closely this camp. But there's some news still going on here. I was kind of intrigued by a story on The Athletic. Obviously, during the World Cup, soccer is such a huge thing. And a story pops up, MLS commissioner search, and Parag Marate's name came up. I mean, it's not surprising he's so heavily involved. He's basically running the Leeds United team, right, for the 49ers enterprises. Huge, huge interest in soccer. He was a big part of with the Sacramento team when they were going to try to start that up.
Yes.
I don't think that ever happened. But then The Athletic's Matt Barrows reporting that Parag Marate's name might have emerged in there, but then he pulled out. I'll just say it doesn't surprise me that MLS would want to talk to Parag. He's obviously been involved in the highest levels. I'm not surprised that he's pulled. Like, he's got a better job, Barrows. Like, he's basically or in large part running a Premier League team, not a great Premier League team, but has had its high points recently. Incredibly valuable piece of a valuable franchise. He's got influence in many other things, obviously a big part of the 49ers. Why would he give that up to be kind of a no-win situation of being the MLS commissioner? I never saw that. Unless, here's what I thought, unless he has his eye on being the NFL commissioner. Like, this is a path towards doing that. But I don't know if Parag really has a sense for that. I think he could be, but I think he's got a much better job right now doing all the things he does with the 49ers.
Well, maybe he has his eye on becoming the FIFA top dog there and getting on stage with the president and the winning team Now that is a major job. That makes Roger Goodell look like, a custodian. I didn't know how he would be able to handle everything. I mean, he'd have to clone himself to do everything he would need to do. I would think that he would have to step down from the Liverpool position, which is chairman. But you're right. I mean, he's a big wig there. I don't know for sure whether he's running the day-to-day thing. He's sort of like the Jed York to Liverpool, but yeah, that would have been Leeds. I don't know if there were rules about that, etc. So it would
not
have been
Liverpool, not Liverpool, Leeds, Leeds,
Leeds. Sorry, yeah, Leeds. Yeah. Liverpool, much bigger team, but yeah, the same point. They're in the Premier League. I would imagine he would have had to make an adjustment if he was going to become the commissioner of a different soccer league.
Yeah, it's interesting. His name could come up for some other things, and interesting path forward for him. But yeah, he's still a young man, still has a lot of connections. Be interesting, but he's got a good gig doing what he's doing with his kind of lot of different interests, a lot of different places. Any other news that we need to deal with here, Barrow?
As for well, you know, I think there'll be news on Saturday, which is report day for the veterans. So that'll be the day we learn, okay, is Nick Bosa going to be 100% cleared? Is he going to start out on, I guess it would be for him, PUP, you know, the same thing. Kittle obviously will start out there. I would imagine Mykal Williams starts out there. Keon White would be the other injury guy. He might be fully cleared. Who else? Alfred Collins. He didn't take part in any of the spring. There were a number of guys who weren't taking part in the spring. So that's usually a revealing day about who's going to be on the field for that first practice on Sunday. Already Khalil Dinkins, he had a decent shot of making the team. He's one of the undrafted rookies this year out of tight end. Out of Penn State, a blocking tight end, but with Kittle's issue, with Luke Farrell not exactly kind of lighting up the season last year, I thought that there was a chance that he would make it. I'm not sure what the injury is. He's on the active NFI list, so that sort of denotes that he could be activated at any time. But he's somebody to keep an eye on. And then the other news, and another undrafted rookie, Jack Baumeister, the Australian guy, got his work visa issues sorted out, and now he's back on the team and will challenge for the punting role this year.
Woo! Punting battle.
Big punting. Last year it was a big kicker battle, huge kicker battle with your guy, Jake Moody. This year it's punter battle. Jack Baumeister is a rookie. He's also 27 years old because, like Mitch Wishnowsky several years ago, he was part of that Pro Kick Australia group. Mm-hmm. So he actually was a professional in Australia before going to college, played at Texas. So not exactly, naive young rookie that we're used to. This is a grown man. So my point is that it should be a good competition, and he's from the Melbourne area. So I'm hoping that that's a battle that goes down to the end, because it's a storyline and a reason why the Athletic should pay me to go to Australia, because I could do the big Jack Baumeister story should he make the team.
You should go now, get the background stuff, talk to his family, all everybody around there.
Did he do a boomerang when he was little?
Who's the
kangaroo? All sorts of questions to ask.
By the way, 27-year-old rookie, isn't that all their rookies are 27 now? I think that's what they do.
That's an exaggeration. Some of them are 26, some of them are 25.
Really youngsters at 25 even, maybe even 25. Oh, raw Clay at 25 years old, who've only been to three schools, not the four different schools. I make fun of them, but they do have very old rookies this year. I don't know that, people tie the Brandon Ayuk. He takes a direct shot at Kyle Shanahan on whatever social media format. I lose track of all these different formats about how Kyle only wants receivers who are like him. It's like we've joked about that. That's why we raised. Did he compliment Ricky Pearsall once by saying he reminds me of me?
He did. Yes,
it's hilarious. I mean, again, this is Ayuk, who knows the little secrets or the sort of secrets, the little things that people joke about in the locker room or around the team. I just laughed at that one. Ayuk, you know, said some things that are really stupid, or he's done some things that are really stupid. That one was just kind of funny in an inside 49ers locker room thing. Not that that's going to change the situation. Not that Kyle's going, okay, that's the one thing I cannot take you saying. You've got to go. I do believe that they could just end this by cutting him. They really don't want to. I don't know if it's going to end on Saturday. Who knows? As a million 49er fans scream at me, well, they can do this, so why don't they? Why, this doesn't hurt them at all to keep them. I just think, why? What's the point? What team has done this and you really gain anything by essentially putting a player on the shelf? Like, people, oh, yeah, Marcus Allen with Al Davis. Yeah, that was a ridiculously stupid move by Al Davis. And Brandon Ayuk is not Marcus Allen anyway. And Marcus Allen ended up leaving to going to the Chiefs and beating you. Like, this is all stupid. But, oh, well, I mean, you know, 49er fans and the 49ers are mad at Ayuk. They want to punish him, whatever. But this stuff's going to continue to come out. As long as it is, they'll have to react to it or at least see it. And I just thought this one was kind of funny.
The most surprising thing at this point to come out of his mouth or come off his fingertips onto social media is that he says that he's refusing to petition the league to be reinstated. I mean, he's just kind of cutting off his nose to spite his face at this point. He's just so intractable and stubborn that he won't even do that. But that's, you know, that's a, it's a perfunctory step, but he has to do it.
Yeah.
In order to get back on the active roster so that they can cut him. So, I mean, it's just one dumb thing after another. I mean, we've gone on and on about this. You know, the joke about Kyle Shanahan collecting receivers that remind him of himself is that, you know, it's a slam on Ricky Pearsall. And that's an Ayuk buddy. That's somebody who cares about Ayuk, who reached out to Ayuk when he went AWOL and this, that, and the other. My point is that he's not only pissing off the 49ers, he's pissing off allies at this point. Jaden Daniels, the Commanders.
I mean, you can't get worse
Ricky
than that.
Ricky Pearsall. It's like he's setting fire to the world. And he expects to kind of land on his feet and resume his career. It's gotten to the point where he's burning so many bridges that he's going to be left on an island with no recourse.
And off we go into training camp. We'll see how long this continues. He does have to do this paperwork if for the 49ers should release. 49ers can just say we no longer have the rights to him. They can just end this themselves. They can.
I guess they can. I don't know.
Or just say the paperwork will be filed. He's not a part of this team. They're not even saying that. They're continuing this because they don't want him to just put the paperwork in and then end up in Washington. That's clearly what they don't want. Just say, go to Washington. Fine. Do whatever. We're not part of this team. And I'll never convince the angriest 49er fans on this. Fine. I just think it's stupid. And if he did this after the 49ers had cut him or announced that they were cutting him or taking the step to do this, it wouldn't be worth talking about because he would no longer be part of the team. He's still part of the team. Okay, let's move on. Let's do our training camp preview. I think we've both drawn up kind of three or four players or people that we think are most under the spotlight in this training camp. I think, you know, generally I'll say I haven't asked you about this, but, you know, we're removing, you know, the top guys just because some, you know, Trent Williams isn't going to practice every, you know, maybe once, you know, every other practice, maybe even less of that. Christian McCaffrey, maybe you might have less. I don't think I'm watching him to see exactly. George Kittle, we don't even know if he's going to be healthy. There's injuries and veterans. I don't know that Brock Purdy has a lot to prove in this. Maybe he does. But I'm kind of putting this on, like, the guys that we're going to watch in camp. Like, we're going to – like, camp is a vital, important moment for them in their careers, this camp. And I'll start off. My list is, even though we have players there in the headline, that's my fault for telling the producer, maybe players that want to say, I'll start off with defensive coordinator Raheem Morris. What's the vibe? We've gotten a lot of him. You know, he's talked. He's a big talker. seems like a great guy. Everybody loves him. What's it look like? You know, I mean, you know, what with got Salah coming back, we knew what that was going to feel like. It just clicked in. Is it going to feel like that? Is it going to feel a little the funky Steve? God, who's the two coordinators ago? I know Nick Sorensen, and then before that was Steve. Who was the defensive coordinator? Steve Wilkes. God, I'm blanking out.
Like, you don't remember the Wilkes era?
The Wilkes era. You know, it was a little uncomfortable. You got it. You understood that there were some adjustments to be made. It just didn't feel quite natural. Sorensen was supposed to be like, oh, yeah, he's the guy they know. And it just didn't feel exactly like everything was put together. Salah comes back. Everything's put together. Obviously, D'Amico Ryans takes over for Salah years ago. Everything felt exactly clicked in. We know that, you know, Raheem Morris is going to try to do some different things. We know that Kyle Shanahan wants him to do some different things. What's that going to look like? What's Fred Warner going to say about it? If Fred is out there most days, which I imagine he will be, are they going to look a little different? And is it going to be seamless when they make these adjustments? We're going to see more guys coming at the quarterback from different angles. I think that's one of the reasons Raheem Morris is here. Does it look good? Does it, you know, those joint practices against Tennessee, the first one's going to be in Santa Clara against the Titans. The second one's going to be in LA with the Chargers. Those are the big ones. What does the defense feel like in those practices? I remember the last year against Denver, the solid defense looked fantastic. Now, obviously, the Denver defense looked fantastic as a 49er offense because the Denver defense was fantastic. I was watching the 49er defense, and they looked really put together. Will the Raheem Morris 49er first training camp feel like that, or will there be adjustments? That's one thing I'm really going to be looking for.
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, I went off on all sorts of tangents in the off season about how the defense could look and what he's done in the past, and you know that fifth defensive lineman, you know, go with a five man front, which I think they'll do. But I think that it's mostly going to look like it's looked like in the past, with basically Romello Height in the same role that Bryce Huff was in last year. Sort of the designated pass rusher. I think that they'll build off of that more. That's going to be the root defense again. I think that in future years, if Raheem Morris is here, he may start to do more with it and become more diverse. And I think it will be more diverse. But I just think that this year, that's where they start. And I think that there will be kind of tendrils growing off of that, but he's going to kind of judge by what he has how aggressively he diversifies. So we'll have to see. I think that Romello Height is a good one for one for Bryce Huff. I think that the rookie Jaden Duggar has captured
you love Duggar. You love
well. Duggar. I mean, Duggar's I just think that the new linebackers coach, who's going to probably have a little bit of sway, KJ Wright, likes him, reminds him of himself, and he can do a lot of things. So you bring him at the quarterback, you drop him into coverage. I think eventually that will be an upgrade over Luke Gifford, who was great on special teams last year, made the Pro Bowl. But you know, wasn't the guy you really wanted out there when the Rams are trotting out 3 and 4 tight ends and this, that, and the other. This guy, if he can get it, and that's a big question. It's a lot to ask, but it's not an every down position. I think that there's a way to do it, and I think that the upside there. That's why I say down the line they could be a lot more diverse because it will take. Adjustment for a rookie to do it, but it's a weapon that they could use there to make that defense a little bit more special, a little bit more different than diverse. It's looked like in the past.
Yeah, Shanahan's wanted more diversity on defense for a couple of years now. Don't know if we're going to see it right away, but be curious. All right, what's your first one?
I'm going with Ricky Pearsall because he keeps teasing us with ability. He was great in the first 3 weeks of the season last year and then misses time. So he's a guy that has not yet lived up to expectation, though he's flashed at times as well. So, you know, we're starting to see this big changeover, or we've already seen it at wide receiver. Bring in Mike Evans, bring in Christian Kirk. But it's still Pearsall that Shanahan wants to be the big pivot for the future. Like I said, he has yet to kind of sustain that success. I think that he and Brock Purdy have a great relationship. I think that Pearsall sort of captures what the 49ers want that position to be in terms of the type of person. Evans as well. But, you know, you've got to deliver. So he's number one on my list. And just as far as the big names that you mentioned, the one guy that I would bring up is Christian McCaffrey, because mm-hmm. for some reason he had an outstanding year last year. He was the team's offense for the bulk of the season, flirted with a thousand season. And yet everybody's down on Christian McCaffrey. Because he wasn't quite as explosive as he was, and I think because of the massive workload that he had last year. So it's sort of he also just turned 30. So I think it's a prove it year, as bizarre as that sounds for Christian McCaffrey. Every year we've gone over this. Every year he's had a really, really work intensive season. He's gotten hurt the next year and has played only a handful of games. So can he kind of stop that trend? Can he go from, what was it, 413 touches? I think that's
over 400. It was definitely over 400.
That's the most of any player. It's the most of his career, most of anybody last year, but it's the most of any player since 2014. It's a huge number. And our experience covering this team, I remember when Dee Ford had a ton of snaps for the Chiefs back in 2018. He comes to the 49ers. He looks great for three or four games, and then he's done. I mean, his body just gave out at that point. So I think that's a big, big question for him. I think the 49ers are already anticipating it by kind of talking up Jordan James and drafting Kalen Black earlier than a lot of people thought, third round. So I think that that's going to be sort of an interesting dynamic and interesting guy to watch in preseason.
You just did two picks right there.
Sorry. Yeah, but you had sort of dismissed what I call
good
the
point,
bigs.
Good point. I would agree with the McCaffrey, except for I just don't think we're going to see him much at camp. Now, he might want to, but that's part of the kind of moderating this. Like, Christian, you don't need to go through every practice, right? You're not going to. Now, he hasn't at other times, but you really let's get the other running backs out here. We need you for friggin' Melbourne and week 2 and week 3 and week 4 and week 16 and week 7. Like, and maybe it's a little bit of an easing off the gas pedal in camp. Though, as you point, like, it does amp up the mood when Christian's out there, right? When you got 23 going right through the defense has to step it up to try to maintain their own pace with him. I don't think there's going to be a ton of, but we'll see. And if he looks great, that'll be something to know. And we will be writing about it. Just as a side note to that, I won't make this one of my main picks, but you know, I'm a Jordan James guy. I was from camp. I was intrigued by him getting, you know, on the active roster in the playoffs, getting those carries. So they were out of the game in Seattle, but he looked pretty good over 3-4 carries. I think that's a guy that they can convince themselves, like, we can piss off McCaffrey by sitting him 3 series a game and getting Jordan James in there. They almost have to do this now. He can be a multiple dimension guy. So I'm carrying Kalen Black, obviously a third round pick. They're going to want to see him play. I think he definitely will have some use, but I think Jordan James is kind of the multiple back. And again, I'll say it again. I believe he's significantly younger than Kalen Black, but at least a year of NFL experience. Let's see where he goes. My official pick, again, tagging along to some of the stuff that you've been saying, DeShon Stribling. I mean, we saw him in the rookie camp. We saw him in some OTAs. He definitely looks the part. Get the pads on. Get him in those joint practices against, you know, opponents that are not, you know, looking to make him look good. Is he a guy that they can play 15 snaps a game and maybe move him towards 20. And then towards the end of the season, he's playing 30. Is he going to, can he get in the end zone? Can he be somebody that they can say, yeah, this is not only part of our future, this is part of our now, and physically go beat some people? Cause they don't really have that. And you know, maybe Pearsall is a get open guy, but he's just not physically going to go run past people necessarily. Mike Emmons is not going to run past people. He's going to jump over them. Stribling can, you know, be a guy that runs through them, runs, you know, runs past them. Maybe not a lot early, but does he look the part in a real setting against pros, veterans, matched up against, you know, whatever it's the Deandre Lenore or an Arthur Green or whoever he is? I just want to see what he, what kind of his body language is like. I want to see what the coaches are feeling about it. We know that Shanahan is tough on young receivers. Let's see what that looks like at almost a full speed thing.
Yeah. Those receivers get fed a ton of information in the spring, which is why they very rarely jump out in the spring. And so the first big challenge for the Jean Striplings of the world is, how do you look when you come back in the summer? And that's part of why the rookies come back a week earlier. But, you know, that's the first test. And I would assume that he handles that test well. He's sharp. He's disciplined, the son of a Marine. And to your point, he's also used to going from one program to another in the offseason. He went from, what was it, Washington State to Oklahoma State to Ole Miss in the span of 5 years. So, you know, coming in to a new program is par for the course for him. So I would assume that he handles that well. But, yeah, that's a good pick. Other receivers, you know, Jacob Cowing, we talk about him a lot. Yeah. He could be the punt returner this year. He could pull his hamstring on day one. You know, I think that they really like him. They like him as a person. They like the fact that he's part of this Arizona crew that hangs out with Pearsall and Brock Purdy in the off season, and they all train together, and they, you know, supposedly get their chemistry down together. The work ethic is there. The stamina has not been there. And he had that recurring hamstring injury all year last year. But he's somebody that I think he's the fastest guy on the roster. He's somebody that you put in there, and, you know, he can make things happen. He can't afford another stop and start, or last year it was just stop type of season. It needs to be now. So he's one of my guys. I'll throw out both of the safeties too. Neither of the safeties has really distinguished himself, flashes here and there for both Jair Brown and Malik Mustafa. Brown is entering the final year of his contract. You know, the 49ers do not pay big money to safeties. They don't pay big money to guards. So I doubt that he's on this team next year. I could be wrong. You know, that's him this year, and that will be Malik Mustafa next year. At this time last year, Mustafa was coming off of an injury, and I never felt like he kind of picked up the momentum that he had that rookie season a couple of years ago. So big challenge for both of those guys. They've got Marquise Siegel breathing down their neck for a starting role. I think that's a position that they're going to throw all the cats in the bag and see which ones can kind of claw their way out to the top. So that was a not a great position last year for a number of reasons. The fact that the defensive line was decimated, I thought it had a big impact on the safety group as well, but nobody distinguished himself. Nobody stood out. And that has to change this year.
One thing we'll say, Raheem Morris is kind of defensive backs guy, right? That's his main specialty. Has coached some great secondaries. Be interesting. You know, they've gotten and they move the safeties around a lot. They do it. They bring in safeties. They kind of switch around to starters. They do it in the middle of the season. It just kind of gets fluid. Will it stay fluid with Raheem Morris? Will he pick who he wants and sticks with them? Obviously, there could be injuries. you know, Steve Wilkes was a defensive backs guy, and I don't think things were terrible in the secondary with Steve Wilkes, but the whole thing kind of didn't put together. Just things through the Raheem Morris. I don't think he'll be known as a defensive backs guy. That's kind of not a great thing in the 49ers when your best guys are Fred Warner and Nick Bosa, and who are the spokesmen for the defense. You kind of want to be tied to them, so we'll see how that all works. I just want to throw that out there. Raheem Morris definitely kind of started, at least kind of got known as a DB's guy. My last one, main one, I'll say Drake Greenlaw. Now, he could go to the veteran. What the hell does he have to do? But coming off of two injury-laden seasons after his great, you know, final great year for the 49ers, I kind of want to see him on the field. I think they do. You know, I was surprised when Shanahan, I asked him, I said, is Drake Greenlaw you're starting weak side? He goes, yes. I was like, I didn't think they were going to commit to that. Then they obviously committed that by trading D Winners away. I was surprised by that, too. You really got to believe that Dre Greenlaw is ready to go, if not 17 games, at least 15. Anything less than that would put him in a scramble. I don't know who's their other weak side linebacker here. I'm not sure. So can he, you know, they're going to protect him. They're not going to just pound him into the dirt here. But if he starts, you know, like missing practices through injury, that's going to be a big problem for them. They got Fred coming off an injury. The whole idea is to have those two together, and we know what that can be like. We know what the chemistry is like. But Greenlaw is not exactly a proven guy to stay healthy. And let's see what that feels like. Did he do anything during any of the mini camps, any of the OTAs? I don't remember seeing. Yeah. No. So what's that going to be like? It doesn't have to be a superstar in camp, but is he holding up? Does he look like Dre Greenlaw? Cause he hasn't really looked like him very much for 2 years. I kind of want to see that. I think the coaches are going to want to see that again, but when he's just missing practice, who's starting at weak side.
I think that they'd love to have Nick Martin be the guy there. But it's a great case in point of where this team is. This is a team that's full of stars, but all those stars are either 30 years old or are fast approaching 30 years old. And he's 29. He'll turn 30, I think, in May of next year. But so you have that group that are here, established, great players, but older and getting injured. And then you have these 20-somethings like Nick Martin who are just not proven. And they haven't drafted a real star in a long time. They haven't drafted a Dre Greenlaw in a long time. Maybe you make the argument that D Winters is. I don't think the 49ers would.
Yeah, they decided otherwise. That. They decided otherwise on that one.
The guy that they just traded. But I think that there's a real gap between the 20 somethings on this roster, talent wise, and the 30 somethings on this roster. And you know, the further we go on, that's going to become problematic because those 30 somethings are going to get hurt and they're going to start dropping out of the league. Think of how many of the stars in this team are in their 30s. You got Kittle, you've got Mike Evans, you've got Trent Williams, of course.
McCaffrey
just turned 30.
Yeah. Warner's what, 29?
Warner is 29. So these guys are all getting up there. Jake Brendel's 34.
One of their stars, the fans are gonna win.
He's not a star, but he's a starter. And by the way, they don't have we went from talking about heir apparent at left tackle ad nauseum for years. I think that the new ad nauseum is gonna be heir apparent at center, because I don't know who that guy is. If you can name me the heir apparent at center, I'd be impressed. Maybe it's Carver Willis, the guy that they just drafted, but he's never played center ever before. That so
works. It all works.
It's a bit
all
of right. a leap.
Who's your last one?
My last one is Renardo Green. I don't think that the 49ers were very happy with him at all last year. One of the things that Kyle Shanahan says a lot is that second year is really interesting because guys either go in one direction or the other. And a lot of times guys have a solid first year, rookie year, which I think Renardo Green had. And then you just relax a little bit and you think, okay, I did my rookie year. I know what to expect. And you take a step backward. And I think Renardo Green is very much in that category. I think they were very happy last year with D'Amador Lenore. They were happy with Upton Stout, the nickel cornerback. They were not happy with Renardo Green, and they brought in a lot of cornerbacks in the offseason. Jack Jones, Nate Hobbs, they drafted Ephesians Prysock. I think that they're really kind of pushing Renardo Green one way or the other to step up. And so I think this will be a very telling training camp, a very telling season for the guy that, you know, was a second round pick. That's a high pick. You complain about not taking cornerbacks early on. Well, that was the exception. So he needs to deliver. D'Amador Lenore was a fifth round pick who plays like a first rounder. You know, they need that out of Renardo Green as well.
I'll throw two more honorable mentions. Maybe you got them, maybe you don't. Osa Digizua. I mean, it's obvious. I think we saw what he is in the camps. He's an impressive guy, looks explosive. Let's see what happens in camp. Can he stay healthy in camp? A lot riding on him, and it would really make a big difference if they have that kind of up-the-field defensive tackle, which they have not had. I keep saying it since they traded away DeForest Buckner, and could mean a lot to them. I don't think we need to absolutely see it in camp to prove anything, but let's see what he looks like in camp. Let's see if he takes over ownership of that interior line, what that could lead to during the season. And my other one, just for fun, Curtis Rourke. Like, is this guy on the path to be their backup? Like, he's not going to be back. Obviously, got Mac Jones, but Mac Jones is not going to be on the team next season. I'm kind of surprised he's on the team this season, frankly, but they didn't get the trade offer that they were looking for. Obviously, it's a great luxury to have Mac Jones as your backup, a guy you know you can win games in this league. We know is probably one of the best. You know, he's a starting level quarterback in this league. Other teams could use him as a starter. Arizona, I'm looking at you, but he's your backup. But Curtis Rourke is, like, we haven't really seen him, been hurt. Obviously, he's been a guy that they've kind of, okay, let's see him down the road. Well, this is down the road. Let's see what this camp looks like. He throws an ice ball, just in individual drills. Are they going to get him out there in some live fire? Is he a guy that they go, yeah, this is a guy that, hey, even what if a team loses a quarterback and wants to trade for Mac Jones in the middle of the season? Can they rely on Curtis Rourke to be your QB2? I don't think they would do that, but is it an option? And I think we'll begin to see that. We know what Kyle, how much he weighs watching young quarterbacks in camp. We saw because one of them went from being the last pick of the draft to being the number two quarterback in a few weeks of camp. Obviously, that was Brock Purdy in 22. Is that anything that Rourke can – I'm not saying he's going to do that, but can he look like a guy who belongs to this league? Because we just simply – and the coaches haven't either. We simply haven't had the chance to see it. Let's see what he looks like.
Yeah, it'll be interesting because third string quarterback reps are few and far between. Is he going to be ahead of Adrian Martinez, who they liked last year when he came in? I mean, he only came in and displaced Gus Bradley's son, so that was a real feat. So are they going to split those? Who's going to get more? You know, will that change as
does Eberflus have any sons that he's going to want to play quarterback?
I don't know.
Daughters, but I saw on the documentary he's got daughters. But go ahead.
I will say this for Curtis Rourke: he will make the second half of preseason games worth watching.
Yeah,
and they're usually horrible, terrible, unwatchable football. But I think 49ers fans will be interested because you're right; this guy could be number two next year. It could be the heir apparent and playing a lot of games because Brock Purdy, as great as he is, and I am a Brock Purdy advocate, he gets hurt a lot.
Yep.
And last year was a case in point. So I think that's a good pick. He's certainly someone I'm going to be watching very closely in training camp.
You got any honorable mentions or are we done here?
No, I think I covered it all that I had written down.
All right. Curtis Rourke ends it. I'm happy. That's a good one.
I'm very eager to see that Jack Bomeister punting battle.
Who's the other punter?
I can't pull it. I can't pull it out of the old noggin.
It's the other guy. The other guy.
One's left-footed and one's right-footed. So.
Okay. Oh, boy. Ready for it. Remember those kicking contest days? Those were amazing. That was like in OTAs, right? Or they mini camp or whatever the hell. Like they were actually doing. And then one day or in training camp, and then Kyle cut it short. He just freaking, that's it. Jake Moody's done enough. He's our guy. Like, based on what? We saw
that underscored what a charade the competition was, because weird. they started, you know, running out of healthy bodies because they were the most injured team in the world last year. And then Shanahan said, why the hell are we having a kicker competition? Yeah. Why are there two kickers on this roster? We need bodies. We need football players on this
again
roster.
You saw those guys messing around while they're doing the 11-on-11s, and Kyle went, why are there two guys over on the other field? To hell with this. He should have just cut Moody, frankly. It's what he should have done. But they went ahead and did it after week one.
Eddie Pinheiro at that point was not on any team. He was just a guy on the street.
Yeah, that was, the whole thing was weird. But we won't have that drama this year. It'll be punting. All right, Barros, that's it. We did the training camp preview. We will be back to you probably Saturday, maybe Sunday. We don't need to do off the pressers on Saturday. I might be sitting down with a good one on Saturday. So maybe we can talk about that too on Saturday or Sunday. So, all right, Barros, we are headed into training camp. Saturday reporting for both of us. And Sunday's the first practice. Off we go. All right. Yeah.